Father, we give you all of the praise today because you're worthy. We thank you for those who have made it out to the house of prayer and the house of worship. We know we could have stayed home and worshiped you, but I think this group right here, this bunch right here, they love to get together and fellowship in your name, and we do too, Lord. We want to just honor you and thank you on this special Sunday before Thanksgiving. And Lord, there may be some that have got issues that maybe we could help with in our thankfulness. I want to pray for the lady who works in the hotel that we go to on Saturdays, who lost her son this week, 30 years old. And Lord, I can't say enough when I think about that. Our oldest, our youngest, is almost 15 years older than him. And what it would be like to lose a child. There's something about the older folk going first that seems to be the way you would have it to be. But when we lose a child, I don't know of anything else that is harder than having to deal with that. And so we want to lift up our dear sister and all those who are associated with her. And Lord, there may be some others today within the congregation that are thankful, but yet at the same time, they're suffering. They're going through some hardship. Lord, we put that in your hands, and also to let it be known that if we could do something, either individually or collectively, that, Lord, we stand ready to do so. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank Deacon Brenda for these last couple of weeks of teaching in First Peter. And I mean, we have fleshed out First Peter. And actually, if you look at Second Peter, you see a similarity because Peter makes it plain, I wrote both of these letters. And I wrote them very close to one another. What was happening was, and it's looked upon as possibly being between 54 A.D. and 68 A.D. Now, why is that important? It's important because that's when Nero was the emperor. And Nero, you've always heard Rome burn, why Nero played his fiddle. Well, a lot of people blamed Nero for Rome burning. And people were mad at him. And he deflected that to the Christians and said, they're the reason why this happened. And so a great deal of the hardship and suffering that Christians went through under Nero, and he wasn't the only emperor, Roman emperor, that Christians suffered under, but he's well known for that, fighting in the arena, fighting one another as entertainment for the Romans, and even the Jewish people urging the Romans to do that because they saw Christianity as being a threat. And so a theme is one of the few books that I know of that in every chapter, at least of that first letter, it deals with suffering. There's something about suffering. It's in there. I want to talk this morning to you about suffering. This is what I was thinking Deacon Brenda for in terms of inspiring me. A lot of times when I'm quiet in class, and it's not just because I think I need to be quiet, because I get a chance to talk every Sunday too. And so I don't need to run my mouth all the time in the classroom. At least that's what Cheryl tells me. And so, I'm just teasing. She doesn't say that. one of the reasons why I was thinking about what God was saying through that text for me. Because I'm in the class too. And maybe there is something that he has for me to tell the wider congregation that's not in the class and that could help in terms of them dealing with life. And so this is the subject that we want to talk about today. And we want to talk about thankful for suffering. Nobody's probably going to say that. You can call it when you say, everybody shout out what you're thankful for. You won't hear too many people say, I'm thankful for suffering. The word suffering comes from the root word pathology. Pathology. And you know that if you were told you need to go to the pathology department at your medical provider, it would mean that you've got some type of disease or some type of issue that is causing you discomfort or pain, which is usually associated with suffering. And Peter, he takes another perspective on this term suffering. And what he does is, he says, first of all, everybody suffers. Sometimes you suffer because you deserve it. In other words, let's say like today, if you believe in buy now and pay later, you're probably going to see suffering. You know, and suffering can come from a multitude of areas. You know, your physical body, your mental state, your financial, your marriage, that the suffering is not bad if you continue in the situation of which the suffering is saying to you, you need to stop that. You need to attend to that. You need to do something about your relationship because it's going to get to the point where not only will it suffer, but it's going to kill. Y'all don't get me. It's going to kill the relationship. The finances are going to kill your ability. It's going to strangle you in terms of being free, in terms of what you can do with those resources and give. Peter takes the perspective that we need to be thankful for suffering. Not all suffering, but to be thankful for suffering that is associated with our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? The suffering that you endure because you don't spend your resources right, this has nothing to do with that. I think God can use everything, but that's not going to give God glory because you live in a big house. That's not going to give God glory because you have a $150,000 automobile. That's not going to give God glory because you overspend. But in essence, what he says here, that in your relationship with Jesus, there is something to be thankful about when you find yourself suffering. As a backdrop text in 4:15, it says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. In other words, these are all bad things that if you're suffering, you may want to check out if you have a responsibility of doing some evil stuff. But one of the things that struck me here was that all of these, a criminal, a thief, a murderer, I would guess most of us, now some of us might be meddlers, you know, or gossip, but the rest of them God forbid, can I get a witness? But he says that if you find yourself suffering, you may want to raise that question, am I doing something that is causing the suffering? He doesn't say that you won't suffer. He doesn't say that it does away with suffering. He just says there's some things in our lives that we need to cut out that can cause us pathology, that can cause us disease, that can cause our peace to be disturbed. That's really what the disease word means. Jimmy, disease, die, to divide, ease, disease, peace, divide the peace. That when we have peace that is whole, that's what we look at healthiness is, we tend to do better. So what is good suffering? What is it that's good to be thankful about concerning suffering? Four things in our text, and we're looking at from 12 to 19. Number one, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I don't know about you, but I don't like, especially when it's bad things. You can surprise me if you want to give me $1 million. I'll be happy to. I'll be better than the people that you see on TV. You know that somebody gets to be a millionaire. You don't. I don't know of anybody that's happened to. I know some people who've gotten $100. I even know some people who've gotten $1,000. But I don't know anybody who's gotten $1 million. I'd be shouting all over the place for that. I'd show them how to act. Peter says, you know suffering. You've been to the arenas, or you've had family members who have been persecuted by Nero. You know what it means to be put down just simply because you believe in Jesus Christ. So don't be surprised. There are no surprises. When you are with Jesus, there's going to be somewhat. No, suffering. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial. Oh, my God. That you are suffering. That you are going through. Don't be surprised at that. Not when you're connected to Jesus. When he says, dear friends, he's talking about believers here. And he's talking about believers not in Rome. He was the pastor at the church at Rome, and he would go through persecution that would take his life eventually in 2 Peter. But he is speaking to those in Asia Minor who were a long ways from him, but they were persecuting Christians everywhere. He says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. I go back to the bill payment because a lot of times at this point in the year, people overspend. Can I get a witness? And some of it is because we love our kids or we like to be generous, and sometimes we can, you know, to make somebody else warm, we set ourselves on fire. You know, that's how crazy we can get. Can I get a witness? And you don't want to do that. But when you are walking with Jesus, suffering is not something that's strange. I remember my mother always saying, life doesn't go like this, my son, but life is like this. And those low points is when you have to hold on the tightest in terms of your relationship with Jesus. It's at the suffering. It's at the pain. Anybody can act well when things are going good. Anybody can keep a smile on their face when they have a whole lot of resources. But you see, it's at those low points. It's at the painful points. Have you been there? Have you experienced it, Jimmy? I mean, even for you haven't experienced it yet. Guess what? Don't be surprised. For all of the young people in here, Jeremy, you're getting ready to go to college. Don't be surprised by the suffering. First of all, those professors, they're going to make you suffer. Amen. Amen. Anybody who's ever gone to higher education, no, it's not high school. I am a professor, so I know. And nobody tries to make students suffer, because if people are all anxious all the time, they don't do better, they do worse. You know what I'm saying? So what we try to do, I'm talking about professors now, is we try to relieve some of the suffering by telling you when the test is coming. Not only do we try to relieve some of the suffering by telling you when the test is coming, we'll tell you what to read so that you can be what? Prepared. Why is that? Because the suffering is coming. The challenge is coming. The hardship is coming. It does not take the pain away, but what it takes away is the surprise. In my school, you had to give students a syllabus. Can I get a witness? And I'm talking about at the beginning of the semester. And on that syllabus, they would tell you, you've got a test on this day. You've got an exam on this day. You've got a paper due on this day. Jimmy, you better be listening to me. You'll be next. You've got a quiz coming every week on Wednesday. You knew. So it lessened the surprise. Don't be surprised. And when you hooked up with Jesus, there's going to be some pain, and he knows pain. And he sees pain like we've never seen before. And he basically is telling his listeners at this time, wherever they might be dispersed all over Asia Minor, that when the suffering comes, know this, you're going to make it through. It's hard, and it's challenging, and it's difficult, but it's not strange. Can I get a witness? I think that goes to churches, that when, you know, we go through a hard time, Living Hope, First Baptist, or wherever, you know, church maybe you have been related to, the churches also go through financial difficulties. Relationships, marriages, all apart. I've suffered as a pastor. You know, I get to say every week, I've got a good marriage, thank you, Jesus. But I've seen enough to know that the largest percentage of marriages in the church is no different than in the world in terms of suffering, to the point I can't take it no more. That's what a divorce is. I can't take it no more. I can't deal with it no more. I want out. And I hear the words, Deacon Brenda, of Peter saying, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you run into a difficulty in your marriage. Don't be surprised. Don't count it strange when you come to challenges in your finances. Sometimes it is God who is allowing these things so that you will focus more on him. You know, isn't that true? That when we have suffering, we tend to read the Bible more. We tend to pray more. We tend to show up at church. I know some folks don't ever come to church, but you let a little suffering, I'm talking about like a bump on the toe, they come and sit in the pew, and I know something is wrong. And you know, I could easily take the attitude, good for you. Now you're getting a taste of what everybody else is going through. But I don't do that, because I too understand the suffering is not pleasurable for anybody, even for Jesus. Even for Jesus. I'm not sadistic. I'm not wishing for suffering. I'm just simply saying that you're going to suffer. Even if you don't know Jesus, you're going to suffer. Suffering. The ups and the downs of life come to everybody. I'm just thankful to know it's not strange. Can I get a witness? Number two. I'm thankful that I'm a partner of Christ. You know, if I'm going to suffer, it's good to know I got a partner. You know, Cheryl and I hang out a lot together. I mean, in our old age, I don't think there's very much that we do that we don't do together. And even if it's something that's more related to her, like she may be asked to go and speak, I'll just go along. Or I may be asked to speak somewhere or teach, and she'll just come along. And a lot of it is because we don't want something to happen and we're away from one another and I can't get to you and help you. Can I get a witness? We've been there before. We've experienced suffering coming on us, though it wasn't strange, but we were not there to help one another. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Y'all don't hear me. You can't get too far. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's at every place at the same time. I'm a partner of Christ. That's why I'm thankful. Even if I'm not thankful as much for the suffering as it should be, I'm still trying to get better at that. But I am thankful that he walks with me and he talks with me. And along the narrow way in the tough situations that I endure, he never, no, never alone. He promised. Never. I don't care what your suffering is. I don't mean that I don't care about your suffering. I'm just saying that there is no pathology. There is no disease. There is no suffering that he would abandon. 13 and 14 says, but rejoice that you what? Participate in the sufferings of Christ. So that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. I'm not suffering because I've overspent. I'm not suffering because I've allowed some diseases to get in my body because I've been risky in terms of my relationship. But I'm suffering for Jesus. Peter says you don't ever have to worry about him being there for you. As a matter of fact, you don't have to wait until the suffering is over. You can shout right now. I'm going to vindicate you. He's going to make it all right. Because you see, that's what Jesus does. He makes everything all right. I've seen that. People who were in the hospitals who were suffering cancer and leukemia, and sometimes you couldn't even hear him well, but if you got close enough, you hear him saying, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. How can you sing about a God that you can't see? How can you sing about a God that you can't even hear? He's around you. How can you sing? And I hear him say, but oh, I can feel it down in my bones. He walks with me. He talks with me. I know that I participate in his good times, but you see, I also participate in his suffering. Matter of fact, Kelly, there's no suffering that I can go through that even comes close what he knows about suffering. Y'all want me to sit down? I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I'm no stranger to suffering. I'm thankful that it doesn't surprise me. But I'm thankful that when I go through it, He walks with me. He's right there with me. For those of you who just came, we're talking about being thankful for suffering. We're in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, the 12th through the 19th verses. If you are insulted, that's a different kind of suffering right there. That means when people talk about you. Anybody here ever been talked about bad? Anybody here ever been put down bad? Because of the name of Christ. Because who you standing up for Jesus. Peter says, you blessed. Let me tell you, why are you blessed? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. In other words, and when people see that Jesus is inside of you, when people see how you respond to suffering, when people see how you can stand up in spite of the suffering, they're going to be mad at you and they're going to talk who she thinks she is. Who does he think he is? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is resting on who? On me. We forget sometimes, unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine, according to the power that is where? In me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful because of Jesus' partnership with me, which gives me power. You know, you just shouldn't sing about it. But we do sing about it, don't we? There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Where? In the precious blood of the Lamb. Who's the precious blood of the Lamb? Jesus. Would you be free from the burden of suffering, the burden of sin, the burden of it? You see, sin always carries suffering with it. Would you be free? There's power in the blood. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest on me. I'm so thankful. I don't know about you all. I'm just thankful. Because I know the suffering is coming again. But guess what? I'm not worried about it. I'm not concerned about it. I'm not saying that I don't try to prepare for it. I have insurance. I'm not saying that I don't try to get ready for it. We do have a savings. But you see, there's some things that you cannot erase about suffering. There are some things that you cannot get away from in suffering, because suffering comes to everybody. But I'm thankful anyhow. Why is that? Because I serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. And I know that He is living regardless of what people say. I've been down before. I know what it means to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But I also know the one who holds my hand. Y'all want me to sit down? I'm almost through. Anyway, we halfway through. Matthew says, 5:10-11, blessed are those who are persecuted, those who are suffering because of righteousness, not because you overspent. You got to change that yourself. But when you suffer for Jesus' sake, don't try to rush out of that too quick. Don't try to get out of that too soon, because He's trying to teach. And He's trying to get you strong. Everything that has made me stronger in life, everything that has given me more strength in life, somebody had to put more weight on the bar, which caused me to suffer. But when the suffering was over, I came out stronger. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the Basileus Arrhenius, the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you. That means you're on the right track. Sometimes your kids will insult you. So I don't want to go over there to grandmama house because she always talking about Jesus. I don't want to go over to daddy and mama's house because they always got rules over there. I can't bring my boyfriend with me and we can't shack up over there. That's right. I'm not changing for that. We got some rules here. And don't get mad at me. I didn't invent the rules. I'm trying to live my life so that people will know that I'm trying to live for Jesus. Blessed are you, verse 11, when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. If they say it because of me, bless you. If they say that, you know what, you dirty you know the words. I can't say them in here, but you probably have heard them from other places. Can I get a witness? That's all right. My mama used to say, sticks and stones may break my bone, but words will never harm me. I'm not going to give you the same thing back. You know, that privilege try to tear you down. You remember when we was growing up and you used to and we used to, and I want to say, I don't do that. I'm not there anymore. And I'm hoping for the day when you can see that I have put all that. When I was a child, can I get it with you? I did childish things. I thought like a child. I spoke as a child. I reasoned as a child. But when I became an adult, and becoming an adult doesn't mean that you reach your full health. Becoming an adult means that you have found yourself in Jesus. I don't give back tit for tat. I don't give you for what you give me. You see, I give back good because I'm responsible for what comes out of this mouth, in this hall. Number three. Look at the first one again. I'm thankful that I'm not surprised. Suffering comes to everybody. I'm thankful that I have a partner, participant in Jesus. But I'm also thankful that I have a testimony that when you go through the suffering, you get a testimony. You see the word test in testimony? That means I can personally tell somebody, oh, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. That means that the shepherd is fighting away all of the things. You know what? You maybe didn't get past all of them, but you just think about all the things that could have got you. You just think about some of the suffering that got a hold of somebody else that you know, but it didn't get you. You ought to be thankful for that. Y'all don't hear me. You ought to be thankful. I was right there when they were doing what they do. I was right there when they were involved in what they were involved. I was right there. Even though I didn't participate, I was right there and I didn't say nothing. But you know what? I say something now. As a matter of fact, they say old Ganey got a big mouth now because he gonna tell you. Jesus is the answer. Not what you putting up your nose. Not what you drinking in that little cup with the flour in it. Y'all don't hear me. I got a testimony. Peter says that if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer, thief, or any other kind of criminal, or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Praise God that you bear that name. Don't be ashamed because you're not living in the house that's the biggest on the street if you bear that name. Matter of fact, you may find out living in a smaller house will give you more to shout about, especially if you done paid for it. Y'all don't hear me. He says, if you suffer as a follower of Jesus Christ, praise God that somebody else is calling you, even your enemy. That's a show no Christian. I tell you what, I keep throwing stuff at them. I keep beating them down. I keep calling them all kind of dirty names, and they keep on loving me back. I've never seen anything like it in my life. How is it that you can do that? Because the Word of God says that's one way you fight suffering. You don't wait until the battle is over. You praise God now. Ephesians 1:12, in order that we, Paul says, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Paul is not talking about your preaching or your teaching now. He's talking about your life speaking. Y'all hear me? That your life praising God. You see, you have to look in the mirror and say, if God takes away my tongue, if God takes away my communication vehicle, is there anything else about me that says that God is a mighty God? There ought to be something about my life that says you can make it through. You know, this is what makes a testimony so powerful. Because it says, if I can make it, guess what? You can. Two. If you have what? Jesus as your partner. Is that the truth right there? We need to tell somebody that. We need to tell somebody that you can make it through your suffering. You can make it through your cancer. You can make it through your leukemia. You can make it through your financial downfall. You can make it through anything that you go through if you have Jesus. And your testimony will be your mark, your symbol. The greatest sermon that you ever preach should be your life. Number four, I know you need to get home and get that Thanksgiving dinner going. Amen. This is the last principle right here. But these are truth, aren't they? I mean, I've been studying Deacon Brenda, I've been studying in the class and studying outside the class. And oh, God spoke to me. No surprises. I'm thankful. Jesus is my partner, my participant. I'm thankful. Participating in his suffering. It's going to work out all right. I suffer for Jesus. I'm going to get a testimony. One of the most powerful things you can have. I made it. You can too. You know, a lot of times with minorities, there is a feeling that, oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to get an education. I don't want to do that because, you see, I don't see anybody that looks like me that is working in that area. You know what I'm saying? Am I making sense without going too deep here? And a testimony means somebody made it. Somebody passed the test. The test is difficult. The test is challenging. The test is hard. But how many, oh, I tell you to stand up on your feet, but I don't want to disrupt the services right now. But how many of you have made it because of the blood of Jesus? I know why I made it. It's all right. It says, I never could have made it. I never would have made it without you. I wasn't smart enough. I didn't have enough resources. When they told me you wasn't the right color, when they told me you came from the wrong side of the track. All I remember is my mama saying to me, you stand up with your head high and you look for the opportunities that Jesus sends you. Because you see, he's going to make a way for you. There is no temptation that you can, that will come upon you, that has not already been experienced by Jesus. He'll make a way out for you. He'll open a door for you. He'll make a window where there are no windows for you. Now I know what it means, Cheryl, when they used to say that, that he'll make a way. Hey, you know that old song? God will make a way. Well, you ought to get excited about it, because somebody in here this morning needs a way. More than you need money. More than you need a bunch of things, you need a way. And I'm saying, he's still in the miracle business. It's not miracles for Jesus. Because you see, he is the one who invented miracles. And if you're sitting on what seems to be a point where you can't get through, I'm saying to you, God is still making a way. Jesus gives the testimony. If I got up out the grave, you ought to be able to deal with what you're dealing with. Number four, I can continue to serve the Lord. I'm thankful. I've gone through my suffering, or I may even be in the middle of the suffering. But I'm going to shout right now, Warren. I'm going to shout right now because I know God's going to continue to use me. If I'm alive, guess what? That's the only reason why you are. That is the only reason why you have been preserved when so many have gone on. That's the only reason why. Because God's got something for you. Everybody can count you out. Say you don't have anything. You're not worth anything. But I see God standing upon the mountains of heaven saying, I made you. Before the world was even created, I knew you. I put you together in your mother's womb. And every day that was coming to you, even the suffering, I had it written down in my book. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. I still got a job for you. For it is time. For judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? In other words, Peter is saying here, judgment comes to everybody. If you got Jesus, you can make it through God. If you don't have Jesus, let me tell you what, it's going to be a hardship. You know, people take their life. Some Christians take their life. That's how bad suffering can be. And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, in other words, with the difficulties, the suffering that they're going through, you have to remember, who is Peter talking to now? People who are being thrown into the arena to fight lions and bears. How many of you had to fight lions and bears? You may have to fight a dog or a cat. I know you love those domesticated animals, but if you could imagine a cat that's a million times bigger than that little pussycat you got at home. He says that if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what become of the ungodly and the sinner that doesn't know Jesus? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and what? Continue. You know what? I know too many people who were suffering and said, you know what? I'm not serving God no more because of what I went through. I'm not serving God no more because of the financial realities that I face. I'm not serving God no more because I've had enough failed marriage. God said you're still alive, right? Then I can still use you and continue to do good. continue. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I'm here almost 80, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I'm continuing to be used by God. I'm here preaching to you. You could have asked anybody to come, but you chose old man Gainey. I'm thankful. Thankful. I'm thankful. He said, let us, in Galatians, Paul says 6:9, he says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Amen. Amen. Can we give God a hand clap? It is not a waste of time serving the Lord. You are not wasting your time if you showed up here to service on a Sunday morning. I know one thing. I don't waste your time, number one. I'm going to make sure that I'm coming from God's word. And I know if it's coming from God's word, it's going to hit somebody right where it's supposed to hit them. And you don't even have to be suffering. Sometimes you can just see suffering and say, you know what? I don't have to fall off of a building to know that there is a way out. I don't have to fall off of a building to know that there is a solution. I don't have to die to know that there is a hell. There is a God who loves me. And if I just give my life to him, my suffering won't be in vain. Amen. I got to suffer, but my suffering. Deacon Georgia, I'm determined to not allow my suffering to be in vain. So I don't know about you, but I think Peter has taught me something. That's why I shared with you this morning. Thankful for my suffering, for my pathology. Not $1 million. Not a new house. Thank you for the unrestfulness, because you see, it makes me focus on you more. Especially when I'm doing it for you. Because I've been told all my life, you know, if you serve God, everything will work out. You lose your job, you'll get another job. Sometimes you won't. Y'all don't hear me. But if I'm in the hand of God, I'll make it through. I'll make it through. Number one, come on, say it for me. I'm thankful. Thankful, not surprised. Suffering comes to everybody. Can't you with me? Number two, thankful. I'm in a partnership. I'm not just coming here worshiping and then leaving. I don't leave God here after church on Sunday. When I go out the door, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he goes home with me. He's in the car with me. There's some other places I won't go there this morning. He's there too. So make sure you do it right and who you do it with. Y'all don't hear me. I'm thankful because I have a wife. Yeah, my suffering gives me a testimony. You don't have a testimony until you're going through something. Have you had people tell you that? You know, men love to say this. Oh, you just having a baby. You ain't never had no baby. You know, that's a male talking right there. There's a lot of suffering that's involved in bringing life. Can I get a witness? And that's why women can say, I know. Last one. I can continue thankful that I can continue to serve the Lord. I want him to get every drop. I want him to use me until he uses me up. Thankful for my suffering. Suffering is a part of my journey. Can I get a witness? I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask our music ministers to come. And I'm going to ask the counselor, too, if they would come and stand up. You know, if you're suffering this morning with something and you just need prayer, this is a good place to come and leave it at the altar. Trust God. Try it. Trust Him anyhow. And I'm not saying it's a cure-all. I'm saying that Jesus will help you to deal with whatever is causing you your pain. Won't you come?